We'd like for you to also visit our welcome center right outside of these doors, just to the right there. And we'd just like to talk to you a little bit and get to know you and get a few points of information. And we also have a small gift for you. And so if you're visiting online, very similar, you can go to that bit.ly link at the bottom of your screen and get connected to CG. If you just want to follow that link on your screen, that's how you would do that. And probably get a phone call from one of our pastors, and we just like to show you a little bit about our church and introduce ourselves to you, and we're just thankful that you're here tonight. There are four giving options we'd like to remind you of at Calvary Gospel Church. You can always give online if you go to our website, just /giving. You can go and give in person. If you want to give in person, you just drop an envelope or money or check in one of those boxes that are mounted on the wall right outside of these doors. You can see them. They're marked pretty well. You can also give by mail if you want to mail in any type of check or anything like that. You can do that by mailing it in to 5301 Commercial Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin, right here where we're at, 53704. And you can also give on the mobile giving app. It's called Church Center, so you can download that on your Android or Apple device. And you can get set up that way. If you have any questions about the mobile giving app, you can see one of our pastors after the service. There are some announcements. We want to remind everybody that tomorrow, Thursday, March 14th, is our annual business meeting. And it's at 7 p.m. And so typically, depending on the amount of conversation that needs to take place, it can be short. And so just prepare to be here on time, because we don't want you to miss the whole thing if you're 15, 20 minutes late. No, it won't be that bad. But you should probably be prompt and on time for that type of a meeting, because it ends when we're done. Okay. And so next week, we want to remind everybody that it's Wisconsin District Conference, and all of our ministers will be going to Elkhart Lake. And so the church office will be closed March 18th through the 22nd. And so we just want to remind everybody that there won't be many people around. But if you need something, you can always probably call one of us on our cell phone. Hopefully you have that number. Or just try your very best to maybe send an email or something like that to get a hold of us over while we're all over there. We want to remind also everyone about our Easter weekend. All right, so this is called Restoration. Do you have that slide, Brittany, or no? Yeah. Good. Well, first of all, the Good Friday service. So Good Friday service is going to be March 29th, and so that'll be right here in the sanctuary. It's going to start at 7 p.m., and so we'll have communion also on that night, and so we want to see all of our saints out on Good Friday. Sunday, March 31st, will be our Easter Sunday, and the theme for this year is restoration. And so we're just asking everyone, if you know anybody or have any family or friends who need to come to church or want to know more about Jesus, this is a great weekend to introduce them to our church. And so we just want you to invite everybody. Now, the normal classes will be at 10 a.m., and our Easter service will start at 11 a.m., and the theme, again, is restoration. And that's all we have for announcements. Would you like to stand with me? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, no, I had my prayer card. I'm just going to go down and get it. I picked up the wrong stack of paperwork. Brother Ward Meyer turned in a prayer request for Renee Boyce. And this is a co-worker's wife. She has advanced cancer and needs a miracle tonight. And so we just happen to know who the miracle worker is, amen? His name is Jesus, and I'm thankful that I know who he is. I'm thankful that he is there every time we call upon his name, amen? And so tonight we're going to do that. If you have a need and you're here in the sanctuary, maybe you have some physical need, maybe you need some healing in your body, maybe you have family needs, maybe you have financial needs, whatever the need is. If you have a need tonight that you need prayer for, would you just lift your hand up to the Lord right now? We're just going to go to the Lord in prayer right now, believing that God can do anything. Amen? God can do anything. And I believe that tonight is a night of miracles. He can do it right now, right when you're just let the words right out of your mouth, just asking Jesus for an answer to whatever prayer you have. Let's just do that right now. Lord Jesus, I ask you, God, to touch every single heart that's been hurt, every single need that's been lifted up here, every single person who has need of healing in their body, God. I ask you, Lord, also to touch Renee Boyce right now. She needs a miracle. Whatever you can do, Lord Jesus, that they would allow, Lord, we ask you just to go into that room and just do a miracle, Lord, in her life, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to you touch every situation, every single family, every single problem that's going on in our church and around our church and connected to our church, Lord. We just want you in our lives, God. We invite you in, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, again, we come to you believing, Lord Jesus, by your blood and by your stripes, oh God, we are healed, Lord. We ask you, Lord, tonight, Lord Jesus, to touch every one of these knees. They're lifted again, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord. We lift your name high tonight, Lord. We give you all the praise, God, for you're worthy to be praised. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you. just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I sing another song. Take me back to where it started. I open up my heart to you. Sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forget that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you.
I'm not here for blessings.
nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, Jesus.
Nothing else. Lying inside of those Praise the Lord, everyone. Such a beautiful, beautiful worship. We have a beautiful day today. Isn't it gorgeous? A beautiful week. I need a little water here tonight, I think. Because Sister Weekly said she was missing those 2.5 hour services. Brother Ward told me that I had 4 bottles up here. One, or not Brother Ward, Brother. Anyway, 1 hour a bottle. Brother Devin, I don't see him. Oh, he's out. So anyway, so I got 4 bottles up here and I got a bottle of oil. Mix that with the water, and we probably go a lot longer. So you can be seated tonight. Oh, God is so good. We are closing in on the last of our series, and we've been talking about opportunities hidden in the little things. Now, we've been talking about opportunities. It's kind of our theme starting off the month of January and rolling into February, and now we're into March. So we're going to finish this up tonight, and a quick review from a couple weeks ago on Wednesday. We talked about the first point was expect previously unknown opportunities even in adversity. And then our sub-point under that was the best way to experience previously unknown opportunities is to expect them. If we want to have miracles, if we want to have signs and wonders, we need to start expecting them. And we're going to go into that in our next series, and I'm excited about that, but we've wrapped this one up first. Second, what's happened to previously untapped potential. I believe that so many of us have so much to give, and a lot of it is because we're afraid to let it out. We're maybe afraid of what people will think, and we need to pray for boldness. And we're going to cover that in our next series as well. So next, we need to develop a reputation as a problem solver. And initiative is doing the right thing without being told to do it. Our fourth point was an attitude adjustment. And understand our attitudes are determined by the collection of the dominant thoughts in our minds. And then we moved on to do something you've never done. And part underneath that, we had start praising the Lord, think beyond our imagination. We talked about only two ways we can see something, first with the natural eyes and second with our imaginations. And then we left off at our last point, organizing for increase. And so we're moving into our last point of this series, and actually this is my favorite point of all of this, and that is we need to sow seeds for perpetual harvest. Sowing seeds for perpetual harvest. Now, even though we've had a pretty mild winter here in southern Wisconsin this winter, many parts of the nation have been battered by snow, hazardous weather for nearly a month. Now, I was just a few weeks ago in Lake Tahoe, California, when we were experiencing our sunny and 70-degree weather on a weekend. It was beautiful. They were dealing with 115-plus mile-an-hour winds and over 12 feet of snow fell in the elevations of 7,000 feet and above out there in the Sierra Nevada mountains. But the good news is that spring is going to come. Today was a beautiful sign of that. We're supposed to get some rain tonight, supposed to rain possibly an inch or more of rain tomorrow. And with this rain coupled with a little bit of sunshine, it's not going to be long, and our snowblowers and our snow shovels are going to get put away for the season, and we're going to be pulling out our lawnmowers and our rakes, and we're going to start cleaning and start with our spring cleaning and our flower beds and all that stuff. So all of this, soon the hardware stores, we're going to go in there, and instead of having salt sitting out by the doorway, they're going to have buckets with onion sets sit in them. And potato eyes, so you can get your potatoes and get your onions and potatoes in the ground. We just came from Texas a few weeks ago, and down there, they were all ready. You go into the lumber yards and the Lowe's and the Home Depots, and they got all their spring flowers out already, and you're just like, oh, man. So just as you know, harvest, just as a gardener, we have to plan. As a gardener, if you plan, I know Sister Jeanette has probably already got her garden all planned out for the season in her mind, perhaps, maybe. And if you're into gardening or no matter what type, if it's flowers or whether it's fruits, vegetables, you plan it out. You intend to plant what you're going to plant. You're the gardener, the harvest you get. And we all understand this. If the harvest you get is totally based upon and depends upon the seeds that you sow. And they are simple principles. There are simple steps that we can use. And I like to call so many of these simple steps in God's Word as they're just simply life principles, because there's truth in them. And these principles are found in the Word of God, so we can use it as we sow His Word or His principles into our lives. That's what this is all about. So, remember, that which a man will sow, so also shall he reap. If you're not going to plant anything, if you're not going to sow anything, you're not going to reap anything. For years and years and years, I wanted to have a nice raspberry garden with raspberries, and I wanted the ones that didn't have the thorns in them, and I wanted the ones that would grow and that you could get multiple harvests. They would bear raspberries all summer long, and for years and years and years, I didn't have any. But last year, that changed, because last year, I planted some. And by fall, Brother Millen, I would drive by there or walk by there, and there would be raspberries. And I could taste those raspberries. And this year, I'm going to have some raspberries. Now, maybe enough for just a few bowls of ice cream, but you know what? You keep working those raspberries, and before long, we're going to be giving out jars of raspberry jam. My wife makes really good homemade raspberry jam. So, remember, the first point in this sowing seeds for perpetual harvest is we have to remove the debris and get rid of the trash. How many of you have walked around your yard the last few days, maybe the last week, and you walk around and you look at everything in your yard and you wonder, how in the world did all of this garbage blow in here? That's because you haven't been picking up anything in your yard since September, October. The wind blows it in. It blows the trash in, perhaps, from the neighbors when their trash can blows over or the snowplow hits it and all that stuff scatters and it gets covered under the snow. But in a garden, you have to dig up the dead plants. I go out there and I look at our garden, our flower garden now, and it's just covered with dead plants. Everything that looked so beautiful last summer is now all wilted up and it's all dead. And you have to dig that up. You have to till that soil. You have to get that shovel out, or you have to get that little fancy rototiller that's battery operated maybe and get that thing out there. You call somebody to come in and rototill your garden. You got to break up that soil. You got to turn over that old dirt because you're making way for a new harvest and you're making way for new seeds. And as a believer, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must get rid of some of our debris and old trash in the way that we perhaps think about things. Bishop has coined this phrase in stinking thinking. We have to get rid of the way of thinking, of believing that our harvest will never increase. Sometimes we think personally in our lives that life just goes on year after year after year and there's no increase. We have to get rid of that trash, that debris, in believing that our harvest is never going to increase, that we're destined to stay where we are for the rest of our lives. That is just simply needs to be removed. You need to weed that out. You need to remove that negative, doubtful way of thinking with the pure and the powerful and the positive from the Word of God. Amen on that, church? Amen. Next point we need to do is we need to plant our seeds. Got to plant your seeds. Once you get that debris out, and once you get that trash out of your garden, and you get that soil turned over so it's nice and fresh, and maybe perhaps you've been composting all winter long, and you take that compost and you dump it in that soil, and you mix it all up and stir it all up, so now you got all of that old decaying debris. It's all taking and it's enriching that soil. Now, I was supposed to have in my pocket a pack of seeds, actually 6 packs of seeds. And I bought these probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I misplaced them in my house. And I was just digging through some things the other day, and I found them. And I thought, oh, this will be perfect for this lesson. And would you believe it? I've already misplaced them again. I don't know where they are, but there's 5 or 6 packets of sunflower seeds somewhere between here and my house. And those seeds are still in the package. Now, they look beautiful when they're in the package. You can see what they're supposed to look like. You go into those seed racks when you're at the hardware store or at the garden center, and they have all of these. Man, there's so many different varieties of beans and peas and lettuce and such, and peppers and tomatoes but you see, it would be foolish for a gardener to leave their seeds in the package, just as I have for the last 5 or 6 growing seasons. In my case, they were sunflowers. I love sunflowers. My wife loves sunflowers. And I got these sunflower packets because they're all different variety of beautiful different colors of sunflowers. Some of them get up to 8 and 10 foot tall. They got the big, huge steering wheel size sunflowers heads on them. And the birds love them. My wife loves them. And I'm like, I want to get these for her. I want to plant her a row of sunflowers. Poor lady, she's not here tonight. She's sick. She's been waiting 6 years for them sunflowers. Brother Millen, they're never going to grow unless I take them out of that package and I put them into, Sister Millen says, I'll take care of that. Thank you. But you see, if we don't plant the seeds, we're never going to have a garden. We're never going to have a harvest. And we have to expect to receive a harvest of vegetables, in my case, sunflowers, in the summertime, if a gardener doesn't plant the seeds, he will not have a harvest. It's that simple. If you don't sow, you can't reap. Doesn't work that way. We have to be, it's got to, in a planting process, it's in the planting process that these seeds gain their value. We don't look at that and say, well, you know what, I'd sure like to have a lettuce salad. Let's just follow me for a minute here, okay? You know I love food, and I love a good garden salad. So let's just put together a garden salad. We're going to get some of that. I love spinach. So we're going to put some spinach as a base in there because that's really good for you, good for your iron, good for potassium. Got to build that up in your body. And then we're going to take and we're going to put some romaine, some of that pretty purple stuff. And no kale, though. We'll leave that out. And we'll put that on there. And then we're going to take and maybe some tomatoes. We're going to get some of those beefy big boy tomatoes that are nice. They're just nice and and then I like the little cherry ones too. Maybe a little of those on the outside edge. We're going to put some mushrooms in there, some carrots, maybe a little shredded radish. Put some cheese on that, some sunflower seeds. We're going to put all this together. Doesn't that sound just beautiful? But you see, you can go into a hardware store or a garden center and you can buy all of those in the seed pack. And you can dump them all in a bowl. And look at that bowl. And in that bowl is just a pile of seeds. It's not edible. You put some ranch dressing on that, and you're going to be hacking, you're going to be coughing, and you're going to have a hard time choking that down. But boy, you put that in the ground, Brother Millen, and you let that grow, and you go out there at harvest time, and you pick that. What happened? What changed there? The process of sowing and reaping is what added value to your seed. Them seeds growing and maturing is what added value. So we should always allow the Spirit of God to direct where we plant our seeds. It's got to be in the right place. It's got to be at the right time. And when we move in direct obedience to His divine direction, we will always experience a supernatural increase. Oh, it's so important, church, where we plant our seeds. Where we plant our seeds. Listen, there's a lot of parking lot real estate in this community. Imagine just the corn you could grow in Easttown parking lot. If we went over there tomorrow, before it rains or before it, and we took a couple bushels of seed, just think we could sprinkle them out on that parking lot. It's going to be awesome. No weeds are going to grow up. What do you think's going to happen? A few months later, you're going to go over there and all that corn's going to be crushed. The birds are going to eat it. Because we didn't put it in the right place. It's important to always, always, if we want to experience a supernatural increase, we have to allow the Spirit of God to direct us where we are to plant our seeds. Our next point is we have to fertilize the soil. Now, this is a big one. Around our house, the farmer, he plants every year. He's going to plant soybeans, corn, or wheat. Now, if he was going to plant wheat, he would have planted it last fall because he plants winter wheat. And what happens is that winter wheat's a very strong variety of wheat. So it grows up about 6-8 inches tall in the fall of the year, and then the snow comes and blankets it. And that wheat can withstand sub-zero freezing temperatures. And all winter long, while we think that wheat is dying, it's actually slowly, slowly, slowly increasing. And when the suns come in the spring and the snow melts into to the soil, and that wheat is now going to jump up. It's going to germinate, and by August, by July, August, he's going to be harvesting that wheat. And we look at that, and that soil, when you look out at that soil, it's nothing but rocks, and it's like, we have some creeks by our house, and you get down by the creek, and you can look at the soil. It goes from like reddish, orangey, ugly, rocky soil to this nice, gray to black, soft, loamy soil, and you're looking at that, and you're like, how can that wheat grow in this rocky old soil just as well as it's growing in that nice black loamy soil down by the water's edge. Well, I'll tell you how it grows. It's because every year that man fertilizes it. I see him out there doing it. I watch him do it. I can smell it when the fertilizer, you come home and you can smell that fertilizer, and the smell drifting in the air. And the natural fertilizer will make that vegetable grow. So our plants and our flowers grow. And in the spiritual realm, enrichment, we have to fertilize our hearts. We have to fertilize our minds. We have to enrich them. And what do we enrich it with? Well, we can enrich it with reading the right books and material. We can enrich it with reading the Word of God every day. We can enrich it by podcast. And, of course, if you go way back, some of you DVDs and CDs, I got to throw that in there because some of our vehicles still have CD players in them. Some of you young people don't quite know what that is. If you want to know, I can take you out to my truck and we can show you. So, if we want to yield a spiritual growth, we have to realize that we have to have an increased desire in every day of our daily life. We have to fertilize our soil. That is critical. So many Christians never grow to full maturity because they don't like to fertilize their soil and they don't like to prune the weeds around their lives. That's up to us. You can come in here to church and you can listen to message after message after message. You can read the Word of God every day, but until you take it and you actually apply it, you can have fertilizer sitting on the shelf in your house like I do. I got a bag of fertilizer that's been sitting there next to a bag of grass seed for, man, I don't know how many years. But, you know, it doesn't do any good. That fertilizer doesn't do any good unless it comes in contact with our soil and with our seed. So we must fertilize the soil. Next thing we have to do is we have to pull the weeds as they show up. I hate weeds. I just, man, you can have the most beautiful. I don't understand this. I use a lot of analogy of the farmer because I'm surrounded by farm fields, probably a couple thousand acres of farm fields surround our acre and a half. And I don't understand. I don't get it. Because that guy can go out there and he can plant, let's just say, 1,000 acres of corn. And I can walk along that cornfield and I can't find one dandelion. Not one. I can't walk 5 feet across my yard without having a pile of dandelions. I don't get it. Why is my yard such a collection point of dandelions when his 1,000 acres doesn't have a weed growing in it? That's because he takes care of the weeds, and I don't. Listen, I've tried everything. Roundup will kill everything. So if you want to kill the weeds, you can put Roundup on it, and everything will be dead. You will kill the weeds, but you'll kill everything else as well. But you see, weeds choke out the life of everything growing, everything thriving. We plant those seeds in our gardens. And I was talking with Sister Jeanette back some time ago in conversation, and she does a lot of gardening with a community garden in her neighborhood. And she's talking about as the year goes on and the summer months come and the weeds begin to grow, that fewer and fewer and fewer people show up to work in their gardens. And they're just overtaken by weeds. Now, the harvest is in there somewhere. But see, it's been choked out. It's being choked out. The very life of those tomato plants and those carrots and that lettuce is being overgrown by thriving weeds. So when you think about weeds, what kind of weeds can grow up in our lives And what should we avoid as far as weeds? Now, there's a lot of different things we could go here tonight, but I just threw in a few. We can have the weeds of ignorance. That's kind of a rough weed, isn't it? That's like a dandelion. Unless you get ignorance out from the root, it's just going to keep coming back. It's just going to keep coming back. And we don't like to use that word sometimes. But sometimes we can be very ignorant of the word. And we can. And I love this because every time I say this, I think of Brother James Hawk's stupidity. You can't cure stupid. Oh, boy, that's got some deep roots in it. That's got some deep roots. Negative speaking. Any of these ringing a bell with you tonight? Worry. Now there is a weed right there, the weed of worry. That I know far too many Christians worry about so many things. Some of us, we are all worried about the election in this fall. We're all worried about the financial situation in our country and in our world. We're all worried about is another round of COVID or something worse going to be coming. We're all worried. I just want to just help you with that a little bit. Understand something, that God has all of this in control. In fact, I would venture far enough to say that most of all of this is actually being orchestrated by God himself. He's allowing all this to happen. It's all part of his plan. You say, well, this one world government, I hear so many Christians speaking against this, and it's just like, you know, this is biblical prophecy. It's going to happen. Whether you're here and part of it, it's one thing. I don't want to be here and part of it. I want to be gone. So you look at all of these. Worry. Deceitfulness of riches. I used to think, well, I don't have a problem with deceitfulness of riches. But you know, it's not just having a lot of money. Sometimes we can have a little bit of money and be deceitful. It's not always how much we have. It ties in with this next one, cares of this world. The weeds of cares of this world. We can get so caught up. Now we have to live in the world, I understand. When I talk about cares of this world, I mean, yes, there's nothing wrong with our children being involved in different activities after school and things like that. There's nothing wrong with taking vacations. There's nothing wrong with having a nice home. There's nothing wrong with having a nice vehicle. But you see, when you put the deceitfulness of riches and you tie it in with the cares of this world, that can become a weed. That can grow in our hearts. And it can be a very, very difficult weed to eradicate. Sometimes when we look at some of these, if you have to put like Roundup, which kills everything, sometimes we have to almost get to where we destroy ourselves to get rid of some of those things. We have to be careful with that. Impatience. Oh, we live in such an impatient world. That's a weed. That's a fast-growing weed. It's spreading. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And lack of agreement. Boy, those can be dangerous weeds. Those can be the weeds that kind of grow under the surface, but they tangle up the roots of our plants. And they begin to thrive off of the nourishment that our plants should be thriving off of. So all of these weeds can be dangerous, if not deadly, to our harvest. And we have to be careful, church. We have to be careful. We have to get rid of those weeds when they begin to show up. The best thing we can do is, instead of waiting for them to show up, we can take and we can eradicate them by using this in our hearts and in our minds. By putting this in, it's like a weed blanket. It doesn't even let the weeds get into the soil. I have in my backyard, I have a little koi pond, and one thing I determined is I was not going to spend the rest of my life pulling weeds around this koi pond. So I oversized the liner that fits in the ground that holds the water, and I ran the whole area, has a 45 mil thick rubber liner about 3 inches under the stone across the whole backyard. And you know what? I don't get any weeds in my backyard. I have yet to pull up a weed. Now, where I don't have a liner, I got weeds. Oh, yeah. I got lots of weeds. But you see, the Word of God is like that liner. Or the liner is like the Word of God. It's in there, Grandma. And you can come in there and you can pour a bucket of weeds out. Bucket of weed seeds. And you know what? Nothing's going to grow because that stone is going to be hot. It's not gonna, there's no the water. It's not going to have access to soil. Pull up the weeds. Get rid of them. Our last point we're going to make is soak in the Word. Soak in the Word. And just as natural water nourishes and strengthens the root system of your plants, of your seeds. It's amazing to me how I love container plants. I plant a lot of pretty flowers in containers, and I put them out around my backyard because they're easy to maintain and keep and stuff. And it's amazing to me how fast a plant can pop back up from looking dead to revived by just adding a couple gallons of water to the soil. It just amazes. It's like, oh, man, these flowers, they look dead. These petunias are drooped. Bleeding hearts are horrible. They look terrible. And you put a little bit of water in there, and it's just like, blam! But you see, just as natural water nourishes and strengthens the root system of that plant, the Word of God strengthens and nourishes our spiritual roots. Prepping for your increase in life, we have to understand we need to spend time saturating ourselves in God's Word. I do a number of daily devotions every morning. Sometimes I save some of them, and I'll go out for lunch, or in my case tonight, my wife's not feeling well. She stayed home. I went for an early supper, and I sat at the table in Papa Jimmy's in Cottage Grove, one of my favorite hangouts. And I just did some devotions, wrote down some notes, and just enjoyed soaking in a little bit of Word. This is what I'm talking about, because in God's Word, we can find ourselves encouraged. Ever have a rough day, and you're just encouraged, you're discouraged, it can encourage you. We can find ourselves strengthened. We can get counseling from the Word of God. So many times you say, oh, I need to talk to somebody. Maybe just start talking to whoever writer it was in whatever chapter in the book of Proverbs. There's a number of different writers. Just tag into the book of Proverbs and get that counseling. Sometimes we need to be cleansed. That's where it's good sometimes when we read the Word of God, or we have a devotion and it kind of pricks our heart a little bit. And we need to have that correction, that reproof. Sometimes we need that correction. And the Word of God can provide that for our lives. We need to be confident. We need to be established. We need to be convinced of the love and the mercy and the grace of God and how it daily applies to our lives. God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He can be a God of judgment. The world has yet to see. The world has yet to see the full judgments of God. But it will someday. But you see, we're blessed today because we can experience his mercy and grace, but there will come a time when that will no longer be available. But this strengthens the roots of the fresh seedlings of God's words that has been planted. And he has just planted these in our hearts to guide us, perhaps through a specific time of testing. Maybe you're going through a time of struggle and of testing in your life right now. I just want to encourage you, understand something. God is always going to test us. Just as you're in school, 12 years of school, how many tests do you take? It's you're always, if you're going to go to school, you're going to get a test. If you're going to serve God, you're going to get a test. And after school's out, trust me, you still have tests. You got college, you got 4, 5, 6 years of that, and then you get out in the workforce and you got one of those bosses or one of those managers. Oh, yeah. There's always going to be a time of testing. Now, I admit that I'm really not a gardener. Okay, now I know how to plant seeds, and I know how to rototill a garden. I don't really like weeding gardens. Now, my wife enjoys that. I don't understand this, and I've tried to figure this out, but her and Sister Millen will get out here at the church, and they will sit out there all morning long and just pull weeds. Wheelbarrow full of the weeds. That's a ministry. That's a calling I don't have. I'm like, get out the road, get out the Roundup. Let's just... But my wife loves to pull weeds. And I've tried to cover the basics of planting a garden. I've wanted to have a salsa garden. Our musicians can come. I love salsa. It's so good. And I've wanted to have a salsa garden. And you know what? I can't get my onions, tomatoes, and peppers to all get ripe at the same time. I end up having to go to the Piggly Wiggly and buying one of those three and adding it in to make salsa. But you see, just as I've tried to cover the basics of planting a garden for increase, which parallels preparing our spirits, our souls, and our minds for increase. Life is made of moments. It's made of moments. And what we do with them matters. I've heard it said that today is God's gift to you. And how you use it is your gift to him. Let's stand. So we have to think about today. We have to ask ourselves, did I honor God with my time? We're talking about sowing seeds. Listen, we can waste a lot of seeds. We can waste a lot. Did I honor God with my time? Did I use my time to make an impact and make a difference? Or did I use my time to worry, allow that seed, that weed of worry to grow up and worry about things that I can't do anything about anyway? Believe it or not, God actually cares what we do with our time. Time is such a precious commodity. And the thing is God gave every last one of us an equal amount of time. I believe that God gave us all a measure of faith. I believe some of us have more than others. But time is something that God gave everyone the exact same amount of. You have no more time in your life than I have in mine. You have no more time in your day than I have in my day. So God cares about what we do with our time. Why is that? Because it's really not our time. Sister Martha, it's the time that he gave to us. He gave to us. God gives us all of our moments. or our opportunities for a reason. And if we want to make them count, we must take advantage of each opportunity and not allow life to pass us by. The Apostle Paul echoed the same sentiment in this letter to the church, the Galatian church. He writes this. He says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." As we close this series out, we often find that opportunity is often found within the little things that we do every day in life. Every day. Every day. Church, opportunity is knocking. Opportunity is knocking. Sowing seeds for a perpetual harvest. As we close this service out tonight, I just want to invite you to come down to the front. Maybe you've got too much debris, too much trash. Oh, it happens to all of us. The front part of our garden can look beautiful, pristine, and flawless, but boy, you get back around the corner where most people can't see, and not so good. We got to plant our seeds. Maybe you're struggling with planting your seeds, or maybe you're struggling with fertilizing your soil. Or maybe you've done all of that, but you've just got a good old bumper crop of weeds, and you need to take care of those. Or maybe you're just struggling with soaking in the Word. Whatever it may be, I just want to challenge you tonight as our worship team, Sister Sarah, begins to sing. I just want to invite you to come down and just share a moment with God. It's His time, and He's given it to us to make the best use out of it. God bless you.
Away.
Review here, we have to remember, remove the debris. Got to get that garden, get rid of that trash. Then we got to plant those seeds. Everywhere we go, Brother Norman, we got to be a witness. Here a little, there a little. Then we have to fertilize it. That's where you plant the seeds and you come back. You run into that person at work or wherever it may be, and you run into them, you plant that seed, and a few weeks later you run into them again, you put a little bit more fertilizer on it. Just a little bit. You put too much, you burn it up, you kill it. Just a little bit. And then when the weeds start to show up, you just start pulling weeds. And then we have to soak in the Word. Got to soak in the Word. Got to get that Word in our hearts and our lives. But not just in ours, in our neighbors, our families, our friends. God bless you. I hope this has been a blessing to all of you. And thank you so very much for coming out on this beautiful Wednesday evening. If you're a guest of ours, it's an honor to have you here tonight. God bless you. Have a very blessed evening. A great day tomorrow. And we will see you back here on Sunday morning. God bless you. Thank you to our worship. Awesome job tonight. God bless you.